Hello, friends. Welcome to Time in the Studio. I'm your host, Sarah Marie Miller, and I'm so excited for today's episode. It is the 13th episode, and this feels like a breakthrough point to me. I find the number 13 is sort of a funny, lucky number. And one of my teachers once talked about how it's easy to do something 7, 8, 10, 11 times, but there's a breakthrough point of doing something 13 times that is just like a mental, it's like really showing that you're committed to something, and it requires, breaking through some of your own limits at times. And I found that to be true. There was a little bit of a pause where I was just like, am I going to keep doing this? And then I got some really sweet feedback from friends and nice reviews on iTunes, and somebody left a donation, which was so sweet. If you want to make a donation to the podcast, you can do that. It's at timeinthestudio.simplecast.fm, and that is greatly appreciated. You can make a donation for any amount, as little as a dollar. And yeah, it just really lifted my spirits. I'd also really like to read the sweet review. So it's titled, I Feel Like a Garden by A. Travers. And they say, listening to Sarah feels like sitting among flowers on a warm and sunny day, maybe just a few steps from a mellow creek, which is funny because I do live right by a creek. I love the podcast because of how informative, fun, and versatile it is. Keep it up, Sarah. So thank you for that. Really sweet, and just makes my day to hear that. So yeah, thank you for listening and sharing this with your friends. Makes a big difference. I also just posted something on Instagram. I've had a couple of friends reach out and want to know what my favorite herbal books are. And so I just took a shot of a couple of the books on my bookshelf. But if you want to take a shot of your bookshelf and some of your favorite herb or art books, please feel free to do that. And then you can just tag it with the hashtag #TimeInTheStudioBookshelf. And I love seeing what people are reading and the resources people are looking at. And yeah, you can check that out on the Time in the Studio Instagram, or there's another shelf at my Ada Zia Instagram. That's Ada, A-I-D-A dot Zia, Z-E-A dot arts. And that's on Instagram. So that's a fun little thing you can check out and tag if you want to share what your bookshelf is looking like these days. I'm really excited for this episode. I got to catch up with a near and dear old friend, Steph Hans, and she does really cool work with wood and watercolors. She's an amazing oil painter as well, and a photographer. And she talks about her time in Tennessee and also in Japan. She was in Japan for a couple of years. So it's really fun to hear her experiences with continuing her own creative path and her birth experience she shares, which was really generous. And she talks about the wood shop that she got to work in Japan and what that was like, and just, yeah, shares so much wisdom about the power of taking all the magnets off of your fridge and rearranging your life and allowing yourself to just kind of release into the power of destroying something in order to rebuild it. So I feel like I just went to this really amazing postpartum care training in New Mexico. It's with Innate Traditions. It's Rochelle Garcia Saliga, and she is an incredible teacher. And it was a week long of just hanging out with women in a circle of women, talking about the power of women's bodies and how to help each other heal through the birth experience. And it was just really amazing. I'm excited. She has generously been willing to do an interview with the podcast at some point in the near future. So You can look forward to that. We'll talk about just how to help women heal through the postpartum time and what a amazing and transformative time that can be. But I know it's also definitely a struggle. I think a lot of that is because our culture doesn't always celebrate women, and that we don't honor that time. It's like a very tender time when women need a lot of support and encouragement and to be nourished and kept warm. And yeah, sometimes they don't get all the love and support that they need. So it was really fun to learn more about the postpartum time and how I can help serve mamas better. So we got to do a lot of really cool ceremony work and yeah, just talk about nutrition and herbs and different things that can help women. So warmth is really important. And actually during this episode with Steph, she talks a little bit about her healing process in Japan. She got to birth at a natural birth center there, and they used cold pack treatments with seaweed in them. And it was interesting because at the training we learned that warmth sometimes is better, but I could see how, it's good to like tune into your own intuition and notice what your body needs. But yeah, I just want to thank you all for all of your support and encouragement. And it's just, yeah, this podcast is so fun and I'm having a really good time doing this. So I appreciate the pats on the back and all of your love. So without further ado, let's just dive into the episode today. Thanks again.
Oh man, I've missed you.
I know, I've missed you too.
I mean, I'm in a closet right now hiding from my whole family, so it's pretty funny.
Oh my god, that's adorable. I'm under a sheet. I'm at my my office space that I rent on Sundays to see clients, and the internet connection is a little bit better here than it is at my house. So I was like, oh, I'll just come to the office space. And then, yeah, I just hide under a sheet so it muffles the sound. So I'm in a little fort.
One thing at a time.
Well, yeah, I need to figure out what works by doing it. You can't just know what's right.
Oh my gosh. I know. Isn't that the truth? So funny.
It takes so much time to figure things out.
I know. It's so true. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I just am so excited to hear all the updates and everything. Do you want to just dive right in, or do you want to, what do you think? How are you feeling?
Let's just dive in.
Okay. Okay, cool. Okay, so let's do an intro.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Today I am so excited to talk to you, one of my near and dear friends, Steph Unz. She is just an amazing artist and has traveled all around. She was in Japan for a number of years and is a new mom. She's an incredible painter, printmaker, and sculptor. She's also working in a lot of wood and furniture design. And I just cannot wait to catch up with her. And yeah, just, oh my gosh, to talk to you, Steph. You're amazing. Thanks for being here.
Oh man, I love that intro. It makes me feel so good. I'm going to call you more often.
I know. I do need to call you more often. That's what it really boils down to.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm really excited to talk to you. I'm really nervous too for some reason, but I don't know. I'm just going to think of this as catching up with my old friend, which is really all it is. So
exactly. That's perfect. Yeah, just take a deep breath. Inhale and exhale. Long, deep exhale. Do you have any water nearby?
Okay. I actually don't, but...
Is that okay?
I'm okay. I'll be okay. I just drank a bunch of water. Okay. Yeah, I'll be okay. Okay. I just had a bunch of water and a bunch of coffee, so I should be okay.
Oh, good. That sounds amazing.
If I go back out into the living room, then my daughter will be like, "I want you. Don't go back." So I can't escape right now.
Okay, we'll stay trapped in your closet for now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I like it. It's pretty cozy. Put a bunch of pillows in it. It's like pillow lounge right now.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect. That's what I need to set up for my recording studio at home, because it's like, I just hide under a sheet, but I feel like pillows would make it a little more luxurious.
Yeah, I put a lamp in the closet. I like strung a cord underneath the door so I'm not in the dark. Which is nice.
So cute. I love that.
Yeah, good.
Oh my gosh. So where to even begin? Oh my God. I want to hear about Japan. I want to hear about your 100-day project. But maybe let's just start at the beginning. So what can you tell us a little bit about your life path so far?
I have always done art as a young kid. My parents have really pushed me to kind of do anything creative. My mom's a musician, so I did a lot of music growing up. Because they basically told us we had to play some sort of instrument, because that's like what my mom knows creatively. Mm-hmm. So I did drums for a long time. And then, but I was always more drawn to like visual. I was never as good at music, even though I did enjoy it. So once I went into school, in undergrad, I did mostly painting and drawing and printmaking. Mm-hmm. And actually dabbled a little with sculpture. My dad, always kind of taught me little tricks, in his wood shop, but mostly just to take care of myself and be an independent, woman and person. So I did a little bit of that in undergrad, but, I've mostly done painting and drawing. So then I went to school in Boston for a year, but then I got into grad school in Tennessee where I met you.
Yay.
And, did painting and drawing there. But I've been more into sculpture and like furniture making in the last, I would say 5 years, maybe 4 years. And I think I've always wanted to do that. I just never really had role models that were female that did it around me, or, I don't know, kind of things like I'm like questioning and dealing with a lot of those ideas. Mm-hmm. Why I didn't go down that path earlier, but I also think I was just better. I was good at painting and drawing, so that's why I went to school for it, which now that I'm older, I feel like I should have went to school for something that didn't come as naturally to me, like something a little more challenging. So it's interesting looking back. I kind of wish I would have, you know, went into school with something I didn't know as much about or as comfortable with. Right. But you just, you know, when you're like 18 years old, it's kind of hard to know what to do. So.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's a process. Yeah, juggling, like, to follow your natural talents and abilities, or to, like, push your edge more and try to, you know, really develop something that you don't know. You know, it's hard to know which way to go, because it's like you could have pushed yourself further in music, too, but it's like, I don't know. I think there's something that's helpful in going where you're naturally inclined and what you're naturally good at, to maybe develop more confidence in your creative abilities. And then you're more strong and you have a better foundation as you kind of reach out to these other things, like working with wood and sculpture and, you know, working in other ways.
Yeah, I really like that idea. I haven't really thought of it that way. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes I feel like I wasted time and I should have maybe went more of like the sculpture route, because I almost switched to it in undergrad. Mm-hmm. But now I like the way you you just put it, because I think I probably do have more confidence to see like visually and creatively in general because of my experience doing something I was a little more or much more comfortable with. I think I just feel like I'm getting older, which is not true at all. So time to for other creative paths, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
But there is an urgency to your work. Like there is, I feel like, you know, you're such a skilled painter and you can just, you can paint so fast and you can make print. Like you work so quickly. You have this ability to just like bang out these amazing paintings, and there is this urgency to it. And I feel like that's part of your power, is that, I don't know. It's like, there's a reckoning with, you only have so much time on this planet and you're going to do so much with that time. You know, like you're going to make thousands and thousands of paintings during your time on Earth, and you're going to make so many amazing things. You know, like I feel like you're leaving a legacy like this. It's not just about, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's an urgency to your work that is really inspiring.
Yeah, I think that's also why I've been drawn to woodworking, because I can't be that same way or that urgency to things. Like, I have to slow down and take my time. And there's just so much more, you know, measure three times before you cut. There's a lot more, just being more aware of everything you're doing, and the material is, I don't know, almost more sort of looking for precious. So you don't want to like waste something that you've, measured out and planned out. So I think there is just more, like I have to slow down, which has been really good for me. I think it's like helping that balance of creating, because I do have a hard time slowing down and taking my time a lot of the time. And I just like making furniture because you get to use it. Yeah. Like I love paintings, but I just love the utility of making something that you're using and adding to the story of it. And I think a lot of grad school was like talking about the view or looking at the painting and all of that, discussion about like what the viewer sees and how they can put themselves in the work or that interaction. But I love furniture or building or making an object because you get to hold it and use it every day. And, I don't know, that to me is just like really powerful, especially with wood, because it changes and expands and, you know, shrinks up and you have to refinish it or repaint it or, I don't know, it just, it has this life.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
That's so beautiful. I love that. Just thinking of that balance of like fast and slow and function versus just to be on a wall and be seen. And I don't know, and just thinking of the live materials, the liveness of wood. Like I remember in grad school, I was working in the wood shop a little bit, just making panels basically to paint and collage on, but you were there and I was just so happy to be working in the same space, because I was like, well, number one, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Steph, please help me.
Come here.
And you just have a natural way with materials and a confidence there that is really incredible. Has that, you were saying your dad was played part of a role in that and helped guide you in working with materials? What was that like?
Yeah, I think I have a sister and we just grew up with my dad always teaching us how to do just normal everyday things like change a tire or just how to use a hammer or, you know, that you need to drill a hole before you put your screw through it. Little things like that, just basically to just take care of a home we live in or ourselves, you know, where we didn't really need anyone. But I was much more drawn to like sitting with him in the shop. Like he used to give me, like a bunch of old scrap pieces of wood and I would just, you know, play with them and stuff. And he had a friend, I guess, that gave him a bunch of old, trim samples that were like a tat little chain. And I would take them off the chain and like build things. And, I just, he definitely laid the foundation for me with that, which was really great. And then when I was in Japan, I was newly married in this like foreign world, in two ways, because my husband is in the military or was in the military. And, so that's a totally weird world to me. Because I, you know, went to art school for 8 years and was around a bunch of, kind of different people. And then being in this totally foreign land and wanting to take advantage of that. So I kind of was missing being around other creative people, especially, a place like the print shop. Like that's the thing that I love about printmaking is you get to like be with people like you were just talking about. And work next to each other and not, maybe not even talk to each other, but just be in the same space. And so I found a wood shop on one of the bases, the Air Force base in Okinawa, and I would go there and I just started kind of making some furniture for our house because I moved over there with two bags and my dog Alice. And Adam was already over there as a single Marine. Yeah. So he didn't have very much because you go over there with like 800 pounds. But I think he only brought like 300 or 400 pounds worth of stuff. And it was like some records and his clothes and his record player and his computer. I think that was like it. Mm-hmm. So we had this new little house on base and nothing in it, which was kind of nice. Yeah. As like a newly married couple, and they give you some base furniture, which is very much from like the late 80s, early 90s. And, you know, they just, it keeps being reused.
Right.
Which is fine. But right. I would just build, I would like build stuff and replace it. And then, you know, just go turn in the furniture that they gave us. But it was fun being in the shop. And most of the time people didn't talk to me because it's all these kind of, and not the stereotype, but like macho, like military guys, and they're making projects for their units or squadrons. And I'm this little tiny girl. And I think they were like either intimidated to talk to me or just didn't know what to say to me. So I mostly kept to myself. And then there was a couple guys that ran the shop, a really young kid, American guy, he would teach me some things that he was also learning. And then there's an Okinawan guy, Issa, who taught me like the most stuff that I've ever learned with woodworking. Like he just taught me how to make all things and just how to, fit things together and take my time. And he spoke barely any English and I speak only pleasantries in Japanese. Right. So there was a lot of just showing and doing and him whacking my hand sometimes and like little things like that.
On purpose?
Which was really fun. Just to get me to stop if I was like about to cut something wrong or, but in like a sweet way too. I don't know. It sounds funny. But then he would give me these little pep talks and he'd be like, he'd be like, big guys, come in here and just cut. And he would just like he basically was trying to tell me that, these like meathead guys would come in here and like make stuff and not really listen to him. And I was like slowing down and listening to him and learning from him, which he really appreciated and, enjoyed. But he didn't know very much English, so there was always a lot of hand motions and him just trying to tell me I'm smart, which was really nice. So it was an interesting experience.
That's such a cool connection to make. And I feel like Japanese woodworking, just the way that the Japanese do everything, I just love. I'm like, oh,
crazy.
Japanese pottery, like building. Yeah. My friend Angela, I feel like you maybe met Angela, but she went to Japan for a year.
Yeah, I met Angela in New York.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I met her when we were in New York. She was passing through. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah, she was in Japan for a year and learned about natural building just with, like, you know, fermenting mud for like over a
that's
year
awesome.
And then spackling walls with the mud. And I want to have her on the show.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, just the way the Japanese do everything,
really cool.
I'm so enamored by. And I know, especially woodworking tools. Like, I just remember one time using someone's Japanese saw that was like, it was just perfectly designed so that it cuts
yes.
both when you push and you pull back and forth.
Or yeah.
Just when you pull, I can't remember.
There's a push. Yeah, it's the pull saws, but they do make some that are push and pull.
Uh-huh.
But majority of them are pull saws, in which saws, I would say that word really funny, but you know, most Americans, you push.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting. So how it's done. I have a couple, and I've been reading more now that I'm not there because I miss being there. And there's all these tools I should have gotten while I was there that I'm like kicking myself that I didn't buy because they're really hard to find or just like overly expensive to get here. So it's funny how you don't realize what's around you when you're somewhere and then you miss the place and then you realize all the things that you should have seen or that hopefully we can go back one day at least to visit.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think you will go back sometime soon?
Yeah. We joked about going right now. We're not going to, but when we were in between moving, Adam was like, let's just go to Tokyo. Like, you're insane. I'm not getting on. Well, I'll do it if you're really serious, but I do not want to get on a flight with Barbara right now. She's like almost two and, she can still be a lab child, which is great where you don't have to pay for a ticket for them, but it's just hard. And it's like an 8 to 10 hour flight.
Oof.
So it's fine. I've done it a bunch with her, but she was smaller. It was easier because I was breastfeeding. So you could just kind of like, the breast is very powerful. So you could do that and they would go to sleep or calm down. But now she's just all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. I love that. The breast is so powerful.
But I would love to go back. It is. The breast is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, women's bodies are just like amazing.
Oh
my gosh. There's also, so
yeah,
I can cut this out if you don't want to talk about it, but I just was so amazed that you were saying when you were in Japan, you did experience how they use seaweed to heal vaginal tears.
Oh yeah. So we, you can leave it in at probably.
Okay.
I had Barbara in a birth center in town, which I think my husband thought I was crazy when I came to him with this idea when I was like 16 weeks pregnant or something. But, I had known, one or two women that had had their babies in town. And I knew at the time, and this is before I started reading about birth and being pregnant, that I wanted to try to have her naturally. Mm-hmm. But I also knew that if I was in a place where I could have drugs, I might be more likely to, go for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to have her in a place where I didn't have that option, if that makes any sense.
Totally.
Because I just didn't know how I would feel when I'm like giving birth. Like you can't know.
Right.
So, yeah. And I mean, there's a million different opinions around this stuff, but that's just what I wanted to do. And my opinion is like, do whatever will make you feel comfortable in that moment, or at least what you think feel comfortable. So I opted for that, and it was really cool. And I had a translator. And I also did it because one doctor runs the birth center. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I would have Dr. Fumi the whole time.
Oh,
and
cool.
If I was to have Barbara on base, I would have different doctors, and I don't know if my doctor would be there. So, so I did that, but it was really awesome. Long story short, I had her a little over a week. She was a week and a half overdue, and my water broke, and I went there, and I was in labor for a really long time, like a day and a half or something. But not active labor. I think active labor was only 6 to 8 hours, but it's weird because time kind of goes into a weird vacuum when you're like actually in active labor. Like, I don't even really know how long it was. But I had a little bit of tear, not much, and only because she had her hand on her face.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, sewed me up like they do. And then they gave me these crazy, it was just a, I think like cheesecloth or like a gauze cloth. Mm-hmm. And it was, it had all these like oils on it. And then it had a little bit of seaweed, I guess, like mixed in. Mm-hmm. You could see a little bit of like green flex. And it might have even been more algae. I mean, they're very closely related. So this little green flex, and it was cold. Like, they had put it in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you like put it just in your underwear. And I think I waited until a day after, to where I was a little more, not healed up, but you know, it was less, tender, but mm-hmm. the coldness is really helpful. And then also just the smell, I think, of the essential oils with the algae was really helpful too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they gave me a bunch of those, and I put them on there for like a week, and I healed really well, which is really nice. And all they do there is give birth to babies. Like, they just have babies be born there, and then they also have just women's health, like gynecologist visits and stuff. That's like all they do.
That's
so they're
awesome.
Just really good at it.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
so cool. Really. Yeah, I feel like if you could choose a place to have birth, Japan seems like a good place to do that.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I wasn't going to have a doula, but a friend of mine needed one more vaginal birth to become a doula.
Mm-hmm.
She's American, and she was actually like 6 months pregnant at the time, but last minute I had her be my doula, which I think Adam was really happy because I really asked him if he wanted her to do it, because he's really like my, he's going to be my support system besides our translator.
Right.
And he was like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's fine. And then she did, but she got there the last, right when I went into active labor. Mm-hmm. And he had been trying to be there for me the last, you know, I don't even know, 30 hours or something. Mm-hmm. And barely slept. So when she showed up, it was a great moment of him being like, okay, I'm going to go and be alone for just a little bit and kind of recompose myself. But I'm glad I know you're in good hands. So it's really good to have like supportive people, even if you have too many people.
Yeah. I mean, it's better. Yeah. I feel like it's better to be able to just say like, go sit in the corner and knit, or like, you know, don't bother.
Just be here if I need you, but yes. Kind of leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
that's so interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I started reading this book called Joyous Childbirth Will Change the World. And it's by a Japanese doctor who runs a birth center in Japan. And he just talks about how mm-hmm. birth, in order for women to give birth, it's best to have like an environment that they just feel comfortable in. So like, instead of bright lights, have like dimmed lights, and have like, instead of loud sounds, like just have music, and have a little fridge, and allow them to like have a little snack or water if they want. Like, cause really it's like women have been giving birth for so long and it, mm-hmm. it doesn't need to.
They were really big on me like drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were really big on me drinking water and eating like a little bit here and there. And then, I was in a little room, and then I moved into a different room to give birth. That was just tatami mats and like big bean bags, big giant bean bags that I could like lay all on and stuff. And then, they had like a big rope in the bathroom, which is where I kind of hung, in like a squatting position and stuff, but the whole active birth, like moving around, was really important to me. I don't know how I could have just given birth, like laying on my back, but because I need to move.
Yeah. It's kind of baffling to me that is like how doctors encourage women to give birth, like lay on your back and don't move and have all these things attached to you and have bright lights glaring and you're not allowed to drink water. I'm just like, oh my God, so crazy to me that's like become the norm.
It is crazy. And I had an antibiotic, but it was not an antibiotic. It was in just a little Heplock. Uh-huh. So it was just this little thing inserted in my arm, and they just gave me a little bit of medicine every 8 to 10 hours just to make sure that I didn't, because my water broke. Just to make sure I didn't have any infection, but I didn't have to be like hooked up to anything. They would just come in every 2 to 3 hours and check her heartbeat and stuff, but they wouldn't leave everything on me because there was really no need to. I mean, if she was in distress, they would have, but you know, she was just hanging out, taking her time.
Oh, so. That's so sweet. I love hearing your birth story. That's so cool, Steph. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Well, and I felt like I was probably insanely loud and crazy when I actually had her. Yeah. But I think, I don't know, you watch all these videos, these positive births, because that's like part of getting your head in the right space and just feeling like you can do it. And, you know, with anything, just getting your confidence up. And a lot of women, they don't even look like they're in any sort of distress when they have their babies. And I felt like I was really crazy, but Adam said I was fine. He's like, you know, it was really hard seeing you like that, but you were a champ, you know? So, and he got to like hold me up while I had her and stuff, which was really, really special.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So what is it? And now Barb is almost 2. What is it like, juggling all the things you're doing there, like with your creative work and spending time with her and with Adam? Like, how do you do it all?
It's been interesting because we've been, really like the last 2 months, so Adam got out of the military last month, but we left North Carolina. He just turned in a bunch of leave or holiday time and to Knoxville and just hung out for like a month and a half.
Oh, nice.
And lived there and saw friends and traveled around a little. So it's the first time Adam hasn't worked. He's always, you know, he worked like right out of college at 22 and he's, you know, been in the military since then. So it was really fun to see his, some of his anxiety to subside and just to see him like relax and really, get to enjoy some time with himself and also with Barbara and me and everything. So now we're in Philadelphia. We've been here since Wednesday. So I just feel like I really don't know how. I'm just still kind of trying to enjoy. It's sort of like an ongoing vacation in a way. Mm-hmm. And then just in the last, I would say, since Thursday, I'm starting to kind of try to build back to like a routine. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's really good with Barbara to, you know, break the routine a couple times a week, but really to have something that you're kind of doing most days.
Right.
I think it's good. It keeps us both a little more sane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So exciting that you're going to be in Philadelphia. I love that city. I want to come visit you and Leslie there.
I know. And I got to see Leslie on Friday for most of the day. And I just went to where she works at the art studios at Crane.
That's right.
And,
I saw
on Instagram, walk around.
I saw her spinning Barbara around and it was like the cutest video. She's like, yeah, man, I'm going to throw up.
She's so patient with Barbara. Like I have a lot of friends that love Barbara, but mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of my friends that don't have kids aren't quite as patient with just having a kid around, or at least they have like more of a breaking point. Right. And I feel like Leslie's really great with just being around her and like kind of distracting her and including her, which is really nice. It makes me feel like she cares about me and stuff, yeah. which is really special.
Mm, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's your babe.
It's nice to have a friend here. Yeah, it's nice to have someone here, and I still don't really believe that we're going to live here, I think. I think I'm still in some sort of denial just because, like, a lot of things are happening and changing, and I'm just trying to wrap my head around about, like, kind of what I want to do here, and I'm mostly excited because we're actually going to own a house.
Oh, cool.
And we close next month.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've never got to own a place I've lived. So that's really, I think, the thing I'm really excited about.
That is awesome. I am so excited for you because I feel like you are so good at creating spaces and putting things together in a really cool way. Like, I always loved your rooms and your studio spaces and just the way that you create space is really beautiful. So I feel like for you to have your very own home that is yours, like, oh, I just feel like really cool things are going to happen with that.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. I mean, we're not living right in Philly, but we're living in this little town called Media. It's just 20 minutes west of Philly, and it's got its own little downtown strip. So it'll be fun because we can still walk and ride our bike and do that kind of thing, which I know is really important to both of us.
Yeah.
But still be able to get in the city, and we're staying in downtown Philly right now for a month because we're in just a, apartment to stay in, for a month while we kind of get set up and look for a place. Which is great because we're working towards closure. So it'll be nice that we have a place we can stay and then like fix up some things before we move in to the house. But it's also just fun to be in the city. Like we just have one car and Adam just takes to work, and then like I can walk around with Barbara, and I found a little studio to go work out at, and there's a little play area for her.
Oh, cool.
Which has been really good. Yeah. I've only gone twice, but it was like the first thing I realized I needed to do when we got here, because we have been on vacation for like almost 6 weeks to 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, as much as I don't really love working out, like, or at least the idea of it, I really enjoy it once I'm doing any kind of yoga or even like an aerobics class or anything. Mm-hmm. And so I found this, this like Pilates yoga class. It's like a mixture. And so they still do, like the meditation at the end, which I like, but you kind of do a little more, more holds and pulsing than you do in yoga.
Cool.
It's kind of fun and different. Yeah. And Barbara gets to play with other kids, and it's, just nice to have an hour.
Yeah.
Myself.
That seems like sacred time. Oh my God. I just don't even know how people have kids. Like, I just really don't even understand.
Yeah. I don't even know how people have kids, and I have one. I'm just like, what is happening at the time?
So cute. Oh my gosh. But you were just the cutest mom stuff. And I just,
Yeah,
you and Adam are going to make it amazing. You're helping raise an amazing woman or babes. Babe who's
I hope so. Yeah. I feel like this whole experience, like you know, we talked about the stuff we were going to talk about today, or like you sent me, you know, some questions. So it just made me think about just my life and like how I would answer. And I think one of the biggest things, like the biggest thing I've ever jumped into was marrying my spouse. Mm. I very much had a feeling about him, which I'm pretty big on, thinking most things through logically. Mm-hmm. But I just had this sort of feeling about him. But I also knew that he was very supportive and, you know, he's definitely not perfect. I'm definitely not perfect, but, mm-hmm. The biggest thing about marrying him was that I'm really not very good at being honest with myself. Mm-hmm. So it's been really good to have a partner that, like, he basically forces me to be honest with myself because he wants to know, like, what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I really usually hate it when he's forcing me to do that, but mm-hmm. it's been really good for me to, I mean, I probably wouldn't be doing like woodworking or, you know, figuring out ways to take care of myself and be happy if I didn't have to communicate to him. Wow. To help me.
Right.
And then I think with having Barbara, it just ups that, mm-hmm. You know, all of those things, it just makes them even more so. So that's like an ongoing thing, but it's, I don't know, been kind of interesting to think about with just you asking, you know, different questions about my life and my journey and all of that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's amazing stuff. I feel like it's so potent just to have a partner who does, like, yeah, force you to really tune into what's honestly going on with you. And so important to do that as a mom too, because I feel like kids know when mom isn't feeling it, you know?
Yeah.
Kids know what mom is feeling.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, yeah. When she has a bad day, I have to, it's really hard to like stop and be still and think, but I'm like, oh, I'm really pissed off today and like in a really bad mood. Oh, that's why she's in a really bad mood. Like we're just feeding off each other, in this way that just like, okay. My friend Paige always says when she has the worst days with her daughter, she's just like, okay, I need to just go do something that Harper wants to do, her daughter, mm-hmm. and that she'll enjoy and that will like feed her soul because she can't really do that for herself yet. Right. So let's go to the playground and just do something for her. And then usually that always like fixes it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just has to be something simple because they don't need a lot.
Right.
They don't need like lavish amounts of toys. Most of the time, Barbara wants to play with trash or my shoes. Like she doesn't even.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like less is more. Like my dad always likes to talk about like the only toys I had were rocks and sticks and I turned out fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Debatable, but no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, debatable. That's funny.
No, I love that. But that's yeah, funny. I mean, I think keeping it simple is so helpful. Like, I think kids get overwhelmed if there's too much stimulation and let them use their creative imagination and just like, play with some garbage or a shoe, you know?
Yeah. I know I've been trying to be better about like just letting her kind of destroy things mm-hmm. because it's interesting, like becoming a mom and even just being married and really like, I'm a stay at home, like homemaker right now and in most ways. And so the home is very like important to me, and it's my work. It's my job environment, if you will. Right. So I like things to kind of be a certain way, in a way that I wasn't really before. Cause I'm a pretty laid back person that wasn't really that organized or even that clean before, but I'm much more that way. And so it's interesting to also remind myself to be like, oh no, it's okay if she destroys this, because that's like her trying to figure it out, like deconstructing it and, you know, whatever. So things don't have to be perfect, but I think you want them to be as a mom sometimes, because it's just a way of being in control. Because everything always kind of feels out of control.
Yeah.
So it's hard to slow down sometimes and just think of it from her view. Cause I don't know, little toddlers are kind of like little tiny assholes, but they're just trying to figure out the world. Like,
right.
I don't know.
And they're so honest.
I'm still really impatient and I'm in my 30s, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that is so cute though. I love that.
Yeah. I never really saw myself as being a mom. So it's been an it's still an interesting journey, and it will continue to be, because I wasn't really something I thought I would necessarily do, even though I really like kids.
Yeah, I saw you noted that one of your struggles is with being a mom, or that's kind of what's coming up the most right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's been helpful. Like, it's been helpful to really with Instagram, and I still do Facebook mostly for my family, but usually I just post on Instagram and just share it on Facebook. But I don't know, to occasionally post about like it being hard to be a mom, or when things are really rough, because you know you really are asking for support and for nice comments and likes. But I think that's what's good about platform like Instagram, is that when you do feel really alone, or you know, as a mom stuck in your box at home, you know, away from the world, it can connect you with people. So it's really been good to share and just be honest. And then I have people like Katie, who you know, is on the podcast, you know, tell me something really awesome. And I have Jesse, and I have all these women that I know that are creatives, and, you know, Kelly Hyder, and just a lot of women that I know that are moms and creatives, and they're doing it. And it's also hard for them, and just to all kind of remind each other of that and lift each other up, because I think our spouses can do that, or some of my friends don't have spouses, but even those, you know, the spouses don't always understand that struggle, or partners, it's a better word. It's been good though. She's taught me how to be better with my time. Like I think that I can be very like quick with my paintings and work, but I'm still kind of frivolous with my time. Or I was before, and not always using it and feeling a little lost with all the time I used to have before I had my daughter. And now that I have things a little more, I only have a certain amount of hours, or she went to a morning program, like a parents' morning out thing, 3 days a week. And so I had, you know, 3.5 hours. So it was 4.5 hours, but it took me 30 minutes there and back to get her. So really I had 3.5 hours, 3 days a week. And I got so much more done in that, you know, 10.5 hours a week than I probably did in like 2 weeks when I had all day, every day to do things.
Yeah.
So it's really crazy. But I do find myself having a hard time relaxing, because I do feel like there should always be you should always be hustling, I guess, or doing things. And sometimes it's just good to sit with her and take all the magnets off the fridge and put them all back and then take them all off again and then try to magnet them to other things in the house. Like, sometimes it's good to just do those things.
Oh my God. So oh, amazing. That is really important. I mean, yeah. I feel like I need to go take the magnets off of the fridge right now and put them back on. Just to see.
Yeah.
How do they get restructured? I love that. I feel like in talking to a couple different moms, it does seem like it creates this like laser focus and really intense just understanding of your intentions or your purpose or your work just becomes a little more like you have to try so much harder to make it happen. So there's a power to that. I really want to hear.
Yeah, there is.
I want to hear more about your 100-day project because I'm starting it and it's hard. It's hard to do. So how did you do it? What were your rules? I just want to know, like, how did
my, this girl I follow on Instagram, she lives in Knoxville and I don't know her. I think we have friends in common, other graphic designers, and we just follow each other because of that. But she posted about it, because it's a project that's been going for, I think, 5 years. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the lady. There's a woman that started it. And then now she has a friend that does it with her and they just run a website and it just sort of says the rules and it usually starts in the spring. But, you know, now people are just doing it anytime, which is, mm-hmm. I think, wonderful because you shouldn't all have to do it at the same time. But I think their idea was that everyone's kind of doing it around the same time and like supporting each other and like obviously hashtagging it. And they weren't, it wasn't as much like just artists. It's also just something that you've been putting off doing. So like one of the ladies who, came up with it, she had this really nice digital camera and she kept putting off learning how to use it. Mm-hmm. And she's a writer. And so she just documented 100 days of her learning how to use this camera. So a lot of people use it as just, doing something for 100 days that you've always wanted to do, but you've just, you know, said, oh, I'll do it later or, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll get to it and just making the time for it. So for me, I just saw the project and thought, I'm going to do this. I listened to a podcast about those ladies being interviewed. I'll have to find it and send it to you. But they just talk about, you know, there's people that don't make it 100 days, but mm-hmm. everybody knows the day they stopped. Mm-hmm. And usually when they stopped, they've learned something. So that's why they've stopped. Mm-hmm. So really, like, you're still going to win even if you don't finish.
Yeah.
Which to me was really powerful. It doesn't always have to be all or nothing. Like, it can sometimes just be... the journey, and then you don't have to always make it to the end. I feel like some people are going to disagree with me, but
no, I like that. I think that's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. So I just started it, and I also knew we were going to be moving and transitioning, and a lot of times during those moments in life, which we've been doing a lot of over the last 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. I've, you know, not made anything creative, especially since Barbara's been born. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of times I use those times as excuses to not make stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just started painting and I love watercolor. It's really great because it's portable and you could take it with you anywhere. So that takes out the excuse of, well, I don't have the space or, you know, I don't have, it's, you know, you can spend a couple dollars on a brush and you can even use some Crayola watercolors. I mean, even if you're just starting out, like, it doesn't have to be the fanciest paint, but you can put it on a little Ziploc bag and a little, I had a notepad that, or a little watercolor pad that, would fit with my stuff. And I had so many sketchbooks because I did a lot of, the Japanese tidying book, you know, the, what's her name?
Oh, Marie, yeah, Marie Kondo, Kondo.
Or uh-huh. Marie Kondo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did that when I was pregnant with Barbara, when I was nesting, but then I did it again right before we moved. But by doing that, I realized I had so many sketchbooks and a lot of them were watercolor sketchbooks.
Oh, cool.
And so I had all this paper. So it was a way to like use what I had instead of going out and like buying more crap. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so I just decided to do it. And I made the rule that no matter what, I would do a painting that day. Even if it was 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then some days, like I would spend a few hours. So it was a good, exercise in learning to take time to make something. Mm-hmm. And also an exercise in that, like, everything doesn't have to be this beautiful masterpiece. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can just be you, like, you know, putting down a bunch of water and then like putting some colors in the water. Like it could just be you experimenting. And then having to share it was, you know, the way to keep myself from not, you know, not doing it.
Right.
It was to make sure that I did it. It was to give me some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Accountability.
Yeah, exactly. That's the exact word. It gave me the accountability and also to kind of just, if I thought something was really bad and I had to still share it, it kind of sucked, but, it was good because I feel like a lot of times we hide all those,
mm-hmm. yeah.
all those, mistakes, and sometimes they're really good and you just can't see it.
So, so true.
Yeah. So that was really interesting too, you know?
That's so cool. Did you have like a certain time of day that you would do it or you would just make sure you did it every day?
Most days, so I would say half and half. Half the time I did it while she napped.
Mm-hmm.
If she was in the morning program, I would do like woodworking and for, you know, 2 hours. And then I would do my watercolor towards the end. And then I might either finish it then or finish it while she's napping later, or a lot of nights I stayed up really late to do it because I still was like, I have to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that was good and bad. There was definitely a point where I wasn't sleeping a lot because we would have so much stuff to do during the day to move. And then I would stay up late and work. But even though I was kind of overtired, I still was making time for making something, which was really, I don't know, it was a reminder that that's really important,
yeah.
even though it's sometimes hard to do.
I love that.
And I was alone during that time because Adam would like maybe put on a show and I would be painting just so we could be in the same space.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd put on something on like PBS, like Nova or something. So it would be about like, you know, cruise ships or I don't know, something science related, like atom particles. He likes to like watch really dorky stuff. And I like listening to that stuff. I don't necessarily want to watch all the crazy graphics and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I would be fine because I would just be painting and then he would finish and go to bed and then I would stay up like another hour and try to post it before I go to sleep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I saw you just had a show with Nick DeFord too in Tennessee.
Yeah, that was last minute because he started wood burning and I really love wood burning, but I haven't, it's harder to do because I have to do it when she's asleep or gone because I just have this really healthy fear that I'm going to leave my burner on and she's going to pick it up and burn herself, which would be really awful. And it would be like a scar that would never go away. So I want to do it when she's either not at home or asleep. But I kind of just mentioned it and he goes, I'm doing a show in 2 months. why don't you do it when we can swap projects? Because I was coming into Knoxville for just a minute to celebrate my mom's birthday and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we just swapped pieces like 3 weeks before the show, which was really fun because it was fun to collaborate. And I need to do more of that because I destroyed stuff he did. He did the same thing with mine and like dug out other things. And that was really fun.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
His work is very like magical and whimsical, which I can be much more logical and like much more about the everyday and like landscape and portrait. But he definitely has more of like a magical sci-fi animal mythology thing that he does with his work, even with his fabric stuff. So it was nice to remind myself to like have a little more fun and not always be so serious.
Yeah, that's so cool. So
matter.
How did you do that exactly? Like you each kind of started a piece on wood and then just gave them to each other and then finished each other's pieces?
Yeah, so we, and he gave me some that, I gave him one that I just didn't know what else to do with. Mm-hmm. And then some other ones I kind of started and I ran out of time. So I just gave him those. But he gave me some that he just, he'd either like sanded out some of the burning he'd done or he had painted over it. And so I like sanded it back out and then burned back into it. So it was a lot of, even just, experimenting with the materials, and by trading, we kind of pushed ourselves into experimenting more with things we might not have tried before. Cause he's not a big painter guy. So it was like fun for him to mess with that. Well, it was really fun. I want to do more wood burning, but I think, I've been doing like some sketches or some things once we have all of our stuff again. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to kind of make some pieces, like either boxes or utensils or things that I could burn into.
Ooh, cool.
And play with that once we move. So we'll see. I've been reading more lately about woodworking, which I think has been really good. I mean, Instagram is great and like looking at videos and pictures and inspiration, but I think you can so easily just like, it can just become eye candy and you're not actually absorbing anything.
Definitely.
I just read this, forget her name. Her name, the first name's Melanie, but she does a lot of wood turning, and she has this book called Carve, and it's super, super simple and very beginner with like wood carving and whittling. But I just was at a bookstore in Knoxville at Union Books, and I just really liked the cover, which I know you're not supposed to pick a book by its cover, but it just has very beautiful pictures in it. Which I know is also another reason not to buy it, but it's also a tiny book. So, like I can fit it in my purse, which I really like. So it's like a really pretty art book, but it's small, which is great. And it, she actually has just very simple ways to get set up to start carving, which I really want to try it and see if I enjoy it. But also it's a way to make stuff with wood and learn more about the wood. In a smaller shop setting while we're setting up our house. Cause I won't really have much of a space at first.
Right.
So that to me was like just trying to figure out a way to learn more about wood, but, on a smaller scale. And then she even has templates that you can try, but I might try to make a couple of her projects and then try to make my own versions of them. But she uses almost all Japanese tools.
Ooh.
And that's part of why I'm kicking myself that I didn't, cause I recognize all this stuff she has and I'm like, oh, why didn't I buy that at the, like their version of Home Depot? They have this place called Make Man and it's got like a monkey as its little logo. And I used to go there all the time and I wish I would have bought all those tools. Cause they're all there, but it's okay. And then I've been reading a last name either, but his first name's Vic, and it's called, Fred, I should have brought the books in here with me. It's basically about any space you have to make a small shop. But he has plans at the end to make like workbenches and really small shop furniture, but it's also like useful to build things on. But it's really great because he just talks about certain like wood grain, patterns and directions of wood grains with your joints and just very simple things. And just talking about making your furniture for the shop to practice for making projects with those, shop pieces of furniture. And he's more big on hand tools, which is nice in a space where you're like closer to your neighbors. So you're not always running power tools all the time.
Right.
And then I've been reading a little more writings by, I wrote down his name and you would know this guy. I think, he's a Japanese woodworker. He's like the most famous Japanese woodworker. Let me find his name. George Nakashima. He's like the big, the really famous guy who had like the live edge tables much part of like the arts and crafts movement. But he has a studio, just north of Philadelphia in New Hope, Pennsylvania. Cool. And he's passed away in the 90s, but his daughter runs the shop now. And so I've actually been reading more of her writings. She just talks about learning from him, but also, just about still doing things in the slow way, even though a lot of outside influences have wanted her to work, faster and with more power tools and like just different things, like in a faster way. And she's like, no, this is how we do things and we do things the right way. And also making her own work after her father died. To keep the studio still running and not just creating his work forever for her whole life. So, that's been really interesting to read about as well.
So cool.
But I don't know, Leslie and I have been talking a lot about having some sort of space, where we can teach, but also have studios. So we're just kind of trying we're trying to just keep that conversation open. I follow two Instagrams. One is a shop of her own. See if I can find it. A shop of her own. And then one's like woman's wood shop. And one's in like, I think Michigan. And I forget where the other one is, but they teach classes and bring in people to teach, all kinds of different things, like mostly wood related, but they've had, some different printmakers come in and teach things. And even like a few fabric people, but it's basically their shops are created for women to feel really empowered and comfortable in a setting, like a wood shop that is maybe more male dominated or is definitely more male dominated. And also to, for transgendered people and just people that feel like they're other, to have a place to learn and to do things like that. So I would love to have something like that, but also even maybe even encompassing more practices. Cause Leslie does the beautiful paper, and bookmaking. So, we just need to sit down and, you know, talk about our ideas together and kind of write it out, like what we want to do and maybe kind of revamp and think about a business plan. But I love listening to your podcast with these women that are all either have started, you know, herbalist shops or, have, you know, are about to create businesses, like a few of your friends. And I think one of, I forget which lady it was. I think it might've been, the girl up in Brooklyn.
Oh yeah. Lizzie.
I think it was her. Sorry if I'm wrong, but, I think she was saying that if she could do one thing different, it would have been to like have someone to start the business with.
Yeah.
So I think it was her.
It was.
But yeah. I just feel like I think for me, especially as a mom, I know my weaknesses is that I can't always put everything into starting something
right
now, especially at this phase in having Barbara. So I would really like to have someone to do it with. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm really open to the idea of it being different than maybe what I'm imagining, mm-hmm. because I know things sort of take on their own direction and fill the need of the community that you're in. So I think having someone else's viewpoint would be really helpful.
I love that idea, Steph. That would be so cool. I feel like for you and Leslie and whoever else makes sense to kind of create some sort of space for people to make work would be really profound. And I could see that really taking off in a cool way.
So cool. Oh. I don't know. I just want to make more, I want to make more wood stuff, and I'm trying to make myself not have an excuse not to, or to make sure I don't, like, I have every reason to do it.
Well, Steph, I just want you to,
you know, like, figure out what I want to do with that. So.
Yeah. Well, I just want you to just kind of like sink into acknowledging yourself more, because I have never, I mean, as a first time mom, you're making so much work. I'm just like baffled at how much work. I'm like, I can't believe she's a mom and she's making this much work. Like, how is she doing this? So I feel like you're really productive and prolific, and, you know, I think it's hard to remember to be patient with yourself, but it's all falling into place. I can sense it and feel it.
I'm glad. I think it's good for me to talk with you or with other people about like this stuff. And I think a lot of times I don't take the time outside of being a mom. Like, I bring Barbara with me, and it's hard to clear my head to actually discuss these things in a more like clear way. Mm-hmm. So this has been like a really good reminder to even just go out and have an hour of coffee with someone. I did that with Kelly when I was in Knoxville, which Adam's like, just go and have lunch with Kelly by yourself. And I'm like, I can do that because you're home right now. And he's like, just go. And then we just got to chat about everything without our two amazing daughters, but still very distracting, bouncing all around us. We're actually alone. So that was really nice.
Oh, that's awesome. I love her. I want to have her on the show sometime soon, too.
Yeah. Oh, Kelly. I missed her. She's so crazy, but I love her. Her energy is just insane, but it's so special. It's
crazy. Yeah, agreed. Oh my gosh. Well, Steph Unz, I love you so much. Is there anything else coming through you want to share and that you need to put out into the world right now?
Yeah, I mean, people can follow me at Steph Unz, STEPHUNTZ on Instagram. I think, I don't know if I've set it back to private again. I had it public when I was doing my 100-day project, but I usually keep that account private because I have a lot of pictures of Barbara on it. But you can still, like, I'll still accept people if, you know, I just don't like all those weird bots and, like,
yeah,
sexy Instagram following me. And then I have, it's very weird. And then I have, at Paint and Grain, on Instagram too, which I'm hoping that I'll be putting more things up on that. At least after the next month when I start carving, I'm going to probably not post that much of what I'm working on at first, just so I can, experiment it without feeling so like in front of everyone, so I can kind of like make some mistakes and things and not just have it as something for just me. So you can follow me either of those places, and then I just post from those things to Facebook, but and I think my website is on my Paint and Grain and on my Steph on Instagram too, which is a good way to email me. My email's on my website.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Well, Steph Unz, I love you. I love your work. And I'm just like so happy and proud of you. And it's just so nice to connect and to see all the amazing things you're doing in the world. So, oh, such an honor.
I'm excited to see all your, I'm excited to see all your 100 day.
We'll see.
It's like watercolors.
I know it's work. It's interesting. It's good to just like force myself to dive into my sketchbooks again and to keep making. Cause I can always make a pot. Like I love ceramics, but it's like drawings take it. Drawing doesn't come as easily to me sometimes. It's definitely like I have to be in the flow.
Well, and that's why you should do it.
I know.
Yeah. And just even if you only do it for, like you make a piece and it's for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. you can just, you know, post it and be like 5 minutes, or you don't even have to like say that much, or I hate this. Just post it and say, I hate this, but like you've done it, and you'll probably look back at it and be like, oh, I hate it because of this, or, or actually this is kind of nice. So I don't know. I'm actually going to show all my paintings next year, all the 100 day paintings cool. in June at, in Knoxville at Rolla. And the lady kind of asked me to do it because she really liked following them. And she just was like, I like the idea of there being a grid of all the paintings and sort of seeing, the journey like through them all. So that should be interesting to see all together. Cause I probably would never set them all up to look at all of them. So it'll make me do that, which will be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Maybe I can go to Knoxville to see the show then.
Yeah. That's in a year. So you have time.
That's awesome.
You should come out to Philly. You should come out to Philly before that.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, maybe either.
Yeah, her house is really magical.
Yeah, I want to see it.
Yeah, her house is magical. Go to Knoxville and visit Bridget Studios too, that you interviewed.
Oh, yes.
That piece of land she lives on is super magical. You've been doing a great job with the podcast, and I like hearing all these people's voices, even people I don't know. It's like fun to learn more about like herbalism too. Cause I, one last thing, like becoming pregnant and becoming a mom, like really made me take care of myself.
Yeah.
Like more health wise. Cause I had Barbara in my belly and I was like, I need to be better about taking care of myself. Which is funny because I didn't really do that before I got pregnant, which is silly, but you know how life is.
Yeah.
And then when I had her, I wanted to like make everything but you know, in a way try to make a lot of the stuff I was using on her, especially like lotions and things I was cleaning. So I, you know, definitely got into like the essential oil kind of stuff and figuring out how to use it on babies, which is like a whole other thing. But it's like really helped me take care of myself and my skin and internally and externally. So, I'll have to make a appointment with you eventually to like talk about, more of the herbal side of it. Cause I definitely think there's something missing with just like essential oils. So, I don't know. This podcast has really opened a lot of like those ideas to me, which has been really cool.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that, Steph. It's such a, I just am having so much fun, like learning about art and plants and talking to my friends that are into art and plants. And yeah, it's just fun to have these conversations and put it out there and see what comes back. It's been really interesting.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I love you so much.
Thank you again so much for listening today. If you want to connect with Steph. You can check out her Instagrams. She has one at Paint and Grain, PaintAndGrain. Or you can check out her personal Instagram, Steph Untz, STEPHUNTZ. If you'd like to connect with me, you can check out the Time in the Studio Instagram or my Pottery and Plant Medicine Instagram, which is Ada Zia Arts, AIDA.ZEA.Arts. And I look forward to connecting with you. It's been nice getting messages from people. And if you want to leave a donation, again, that is at http://timeinthestudio.simplecast.fm. And you can leave a donation there for any amount, as little as a dollar. And thank you so much for your support and encouragement. If you would like to rate, review, or share this episode with your friends, if you think they would like it, it is greatly appreciated. And yeah, thank you so much. May your efforts benefit all beings, and let's all just remember anything is possible. Take care, love and light to you all, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.